We exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another.
Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Jesus said, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will be added unto you. And so that's the whole gist of 21 days of prayer and why we've been intentionally seeking after God in prayer. And so in conjunction with that, we've been walking through this series called Closer. And this whole series actually comes together with 21 days of prayer because the whole emphasis of this series is for us to get closer to God. It's for us to draw closer to God, to go deeper in our relationship with God. And going deeper in our relationship with God doesn't mean that I know more about God. No. You can know more about God and still not know God. Like, so the goal is not to know more information and to know more scripture, like, and to memorize more scripture. All those things are good. But behind that, it's all about, man, I want to know God more. Like, I just want to know him personally, man. Like every day, I want to be able to spend time in prayer, man. Like, while I'm driving, while I want to be in prayer. While I'm working, I want to be in prayer. I want to be in worship, which has actually been what this series has been all about, that the way we draw close to God is through worship. Everybody say worship. That's the way we draw closer to God. And we've been talking about that for the past really 3 weeks, and now today will be the fourth week that we've been talking about worship. And in case you haven't been along a part of this series, you can go online or you can listen to the past messages in our app, and we talk about what worship is. But just here's a brief synopsis of what worship is. Worship is not a song that you sing. Worship is not an instrument. Worship is not a tune. It's not a note. Worship is a way of life. It is a lifestyle. It is a surrendering of all my entire life to God himself. Romans 12:1 was the theme scripture that we opened up this series with when Paul is writing to the believers in Rome, and he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, because this is your spiritual act of worship. That is what worship is. Worship is saying that I love God with all of me. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in Mark 12:30 that the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. In other words, all of life is worship. My entire being is worship. How I work is an act of worship to God. How I raise my kids is an act of worship to God. How I love my spouse is an act of worship to God. Everything is worship. And the reason why this is important to understand is because if you don't look at it as worship, you will begin to compartmentalize what you think belongs to God and what you think doesn't belong to God. You will say, Sunday is the time in which I worship, which is true, but Sunday is not the totality of your life. All of life is to be worship. And that's what I want us to understand throughout this series, man, that your entire lifestyle is worship unto God. How you treat people is worship to God. So for the past few weeks, we've talked about that, but we've also talked about the different expressions of worship. That worship, though it is a lifestyle, it's also expressive. And so here on Sundays, we talk quite a bit about that, the lifting of our hands, the clapping of our hands. You see all these things throughout the Bible, the singing of songs. All of that is active expressions of worship. And in case, you know, some of us are like, oh, but I'm not really the emotional type or whatever the case may be. No, you are. You just are picking and choosing what you are emotional about, right? So football season is about to start in like a few weeks, man. I remember I went to a game about 4 years ago in FedEx Field when I saw the great team Philadelphia Eagles play a terrible team in the Washington Redskins. And we beat them, by the way, that night. But I remember it was my first NFL game, and it was about 100,000 people there. And literally, you felt the whole stadium shaking. People screaming, people yelling, people, you know, shouting out, you know, expletives, you know what I'm saying? The energy level was crazy, right? And I think that's awesome. But here's the thing that I also think about is if I can shout and get expressive about some people who don't do anything for me, shouldn't I be that much more expressive for the one who did everything for me, right? And so I'm not saying only be expressive about those things, but man, we should be even more expressive to the God who sacrificed everything for us. That's an expression of worship. That's an act of worship. And so we've been talking about that. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Last week we talked about worshiping through pressure. But today I want to talk about something that I hope will really minister to us. And maybe it connects with some of us, like with where you are right now in a season of life. But today I want to talk about worshiping through the pain. Worshiping through pain. Everybody say pain. Everybody say pain. Worshiping through pain. If you're taking notes, you can take notes on our app. We got the notes up there for today's message, or you can use the card that we gave you to write your notes down, whatever works for you. Feel free to do that. But worshiping through pain. Now, immediately when you hear this title and this message title, many of us in here, some of us in here are like, man, how do you even do that? How do you worship in the midst of the pain that you experience? How do you worship through the discouraging times and seasons that you find yourself in? That's often a valid question. I think it's a question that we all have to ask, because here's the reality. All of us will experience pain in some capacity. All of us will experience a letdown in some capacity. And one of the most difficult things for you and I to do, if you haven't already realized this, is to worship God in the midst of you going through a painful time in life. It's to worship God in the midst of a discouraging time in life. How many of you guys have ever been there before? How many times have you guys been there to the point where, like, you were hit with something that was extremely painful and extremely difficult, and you were just being honest, like, man, I really don't feel like worshiping God. I don't feel like trusting God. I don't feel like believing anymore, because this unconceivable thing has happened to me. This letdown has happened to me. This broken moment has happened to me. It's difficult to worship God in your pain. All of us in here are going to experience pain and suffering, and no matter how much you try to avoid it, it still will find you. Here's the reason why. We all live in a broken and in a fallen world. We live in a world that is full of pain, that is full of hurt, that is full of discouragement. We live in that type of a sinful world. And as long as you and I are living in this sinful, broken, fractured world, we will always experience pain of some sort. You will see pain everywhere you go. You turn on the news, it's filled with pain right now. Come on, let's be honest. You look at our country right now and all the events that recently happened in Charlottesville and the things that are happening as a result of Charlottesville. You see pain. You see people who are hurting. You see people who are crying out. You see discouragement. You see the mom who lost her daughter last week in Charlottesville. She is in pain right now, y'all. It's pain all around us. But how do we worship God in the midst of our pain? And let me help us understand something. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're not excluded from experiencing pain. A lot of times the theology has been like, man, if you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never experience any pain, which I find to be very interesting, being that the one that we followed experienced the most excruciating pain ever. So it's obvious that if he's our Lord and he walked this earth and experienced pain and he was perfect, surely you and I will experience pain as well. Matter of fact, if you look at all his early followers in the first century church, many of them were martyred for their faith. That's called pain. Many of them were beat for their faith. Many of them were flogged for their faith in the Lord Jesus. Don't think that for one second because you're Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, you know the Lord Jesus, you come to church every week, whatever, you give, you're generous, you serve, that puts you in this cocoon where it's like, I won't ever experience any pain. No. Jesus says it like this: in this life, you will have many troubles. In this life, you will experience much pain. In this life, you will experience much letdown. Yes, people will walk out of your life. Yes, you may lose loved ones. Yes, you may experience a discouraging time in your life. But I love in that same verse in John chapter 16, he gives hope. He says, but take joy because I've already overcome the world. Take joy because I have everything under control. And so I like the fact that Jesus says, I won't stop the pain from coming, but I'll help you get through the pain that you're experiencing. That's the promise that you and I have. That's the thing that we hold on to, which leads us to talking about worshiping through pain. And I'm going to read Psalm 42, verses 1 through 11. Here's what the psalm writer says. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? And notice what he says next. My tears have been my food day and night. I don't know about y'all. That's very descriptive language. Then he says this, While people say to me all day long, where is your God? Have you guys ever felt like that before? Man, where is God in the middle of all this? All the stuff that we see happening in our country right now, where is God? What's happening? All the stuff that's happening right now in my life, man, where is he? What's going on? Did he take a vacation? Like many of the people here today? What happened? You know? Like, where is he? Is he not showing up? And then he says this, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon. From Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep, and the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why have you forgotten me? Some of y'all have felt that. God, why have you forgotten me? You just left me. Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? He says the same thing that he said back in verse 5. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. There's different types of pain that we experience. Physical pain. Whether it's you got a negative doctor's report, whether it's pain in the body, many of us are familiar with that. All of us have probably experienced pain in the body in some capacity. There's emotional and psychological pain that we may experience as a result of experiencing a loss or laid off of the job or pain from your childhood. Then there's also a spiritual pain that we experience where we feel as if God is nowhere to be found. We hit a dry season in our life where it seems like everything that could go wrong is going wrong. Or for some of us who don't know the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're far from God, so we're in a spiritual pain. But very similar to the question that I raised last week when we talked about worshiping under pressure, how do you respond to the painful and discouraging moments when they come? That's the million-dollar question. What do you do when the pain comes? And many of us in here, we have different mechanisms for how we deal with pain. Right? Some of us try to sleep it away. Some of us try to eat it away. Some of us try to work it away. Some of us try to party it away. Some of us try to drink it away. All these different ways that we try to cope with our different painful experiences that come. Some of us resort to harmful substances to help us cope with the pain because it gets so difficult, man. And you're left wondering, man, when will the pain ever end? And no matter what we're experiencing, no matter what we're dealing with, no matter the things that we deal with, the pain that we experience, pain can either build you up or tear you down based upon how you respond to it. You know, one of the things that I hate about working out, I hate it with a passion, but I love it. It's weird. The thing that I hate about working out is not the act of working out, but it's what happens as a result of working out. It's the pain that I feel the day after working out. Now, one side of me loves it because it's like, that's progress. But man, it hurts. Feeling like, man, every muscle in my body is broken down and I can't move. Like, I remember recently I worked out really, really hard and I was sore for like a week. I legitimately felt like I was going to die. Like, legitimately. Some of you guys who are like experts in this, like, did you stretch? No, I did not. I did not stretch. Don't throw stones at me. But I remember feeling it and the pain, but I was reminded of what the pain represented. That the pain represented progress. Because I was doing it right. But at the same time, sometimes pain doesn't represent progress. Sometimes there's some pain that you experience that you're not meant to experience. Right? So the same pain or the workout that could easily propel me to where God wants me to be physically, if I'm not working out properly, can be the very thing that harms me. Lifting too much weight. Now I've torn muscles. Now you see your pastor coming on the stage with a wheelchair having to preach for a month or on crutches. Pain can either be used to build us up or to tear us down. Let me give us a word of encouragement. If you don't get anything out of this, I want you to get this today. The Lord uses the painful experiences that come into your and my life not to tear us down, but to build us up. And the thing that he wants us to understand today is that we need to have a solid understanding of pain, but not just a solid understanding of pain, but what to do when the pain comes. Because I think a lot of times we don't know what to do when pain comes. Oftentimes we may panic. Oftentimes we may throw aside our faith. Oftentimes we may give up on God. But God is in the business of using pain to build us up. And the one thing that I love about this psalm is you see this desperation. You see this hunger. You see this thirst that the psalm writer has. And he cries out to God in such a way. Look at what he says in verse 1 through 2. He says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Notice what he says. My soul pants for you. My everything, the core being of me, desires God. I'm desperate for God. I need more of God. And he realizes that only God can satisfy his thirst, just like only the water can satisfy the thirst of a thirsty deer panting for streams of water. Let me help us understand something. Until you recognize that God is to be your chief desire and he is the only one who can satisfy you, you will go to all these other streams and all these other sources looking for those things and those people to satisfy you, only for you to recognize that they leave you more thirsty than you actually came in the original for. Only the Lord himself can satisfy you. It is not going to be another relationship that satisfies you. It will not be a better job that satisfies you. It may meet some needs, but it does not satisfy the core being of your soul. Only God can do that, which is why the psalm writer says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for you. In other words, man, you have something, God, that I can't get from Walmart. You have something, God, that I cannot get from more likes on social media. You have something, God, that I cannot get by more acceptance, by more approval from people, by more attaboys and more encouragement from people. No, you have something that only I can get from you, and that is what I need. That's what the whole purpose of 21 Days of Prayer has been all about, for you to be able to recognize that only God can give you what you truly need. And I'll be honest, man, I'll be the first to tell you that it's been plenty of times throughout my life where I've looked to other things to try to meet my needs and to try to satisfy the core issues in my soul, and all of those things have failed epically. But Jesus, the living water, the bread from heaven, the one who says, if you drink from my water, you will never thirst again. When I actually got a dose of that and tasted it and saw that the Lord was good, that's when I realized my soul was satisfied. That's what he desires for all of us. That's what the psalm writer is saying here. But he doesn't stop there. He says all of that to really kind of set up everything else that he's going to say throughout the rest of the psalm. Psalm 42 is considered to be a song of lament. In other words, it's a song of mourning. And in case you didn't know what the word psalm actually means, it simply just means song. The writer, he's actually in this place of discouragement. He's in this place of pain. We don't know the context in which the psalm writer is writing from. We don't know if he's the cause of his pain, like if he's the reason why he got into the pain, or if it was just life happening and things around him happening. But nonetheless, he is in pain, y'all. He's in discouraging times. And all of us, I hope and probably believe, can identify with this. Because you've been in this moment right here. You've been in a painful moment right here. But in the midst of all of this, we learn something key from the song of how we should respond to our pain. Not by complaining, not by going on Facebook and lamenting about it. By the way, nobody really cares about that. Right? People may like your status and be like, praying for you, but they're not going to show up at your door morning. Like, social media is not the place for you to lament. That's why you need people in your life. That's a whole nother message for a whole nother time. But notice what the psalm writer does. In the midst of all that he's talking about, you notice that he doesn't complain, he doesn't curse God, he worships God. He worships God, which is why at the end of verse 11, he says, yet will I praise him. And the question that I'm asking, if you're like me, is how do you get to that place? How do you worship God in the midst of the pain and the suffering? Here's a few things I want to just lift up from this passage. Number one, if you're going to worship God through your pain and through your suffering, and this is where it gets very real, I need you to lean in. you have to start being honest about your suffering. You got to start being honest about your pain. Honest. I'm not talking about like glossing over it and just saying, oh, I'm just having a bad day. No, 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 no. Being honest. Why do I say being honest? Because all throughout this psalm, you see the psalm writer being brutally honest about the pain that he's experienced. And notice what he says in verses 1 through 5, or verses 2 through 3 through 5, rather. He says, my tears have been my food day and night. Then he says this, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Do y'all see the pain and the agony that this writer is writing with? He says, all day long and night, my tears have been my food. Here's what this tells us. Number one, he's not eating anything. Have y'all ever been in a painful place and so let down in life where you didn't even have an appetite to eat anymore? Like, have you ever experienced so much pain where you didn't even have a will to live, it seemed like? Where you just wanted to quit everything? Where you wanted to throw in the towel on everything? Where you wanted to curse everything? Where you just wanted to go lay in the house all day and not even open up the blinds and just stay under the covers all day? Have you ever been in that type of place? Because that's exactly what the psalm writer is talking about. Morning and night, my tears have been my food. Day and night, he's in pain and suffering. And in the midst of this, to make matters worse, he's got people coming to him, his enemies, and they're asking, where is your God now? And many of us, man, in those painful moments, you found yourself asking that same question. God, with all this pain that I'm experiencing, where are you? What's going on? Just by showing hands, how many of you guys have ever been there before? Like, you can say that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's called being honest about your pain. Getting to the place where I can honestly say, man, it's tough right now. I'm going through right now. He doesn't stop there. Let's look at what he says in verses 9 through 11. He says this, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning? He's not talking about mourning like the day. He's talking about mourning, like sobbing, lamenting. Oppressed by the enemy, my bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? He's even talking about my pain is so bad to the point where I feel it in my body. My body is aching to the point where I don't feel like doing anything. I'm sore. Matter of fact, when he says in verse 5, why, O soul, are you downcast? In the original language, that literally means to be sunk down. You know what he's saying? It's a word that we use many times to describe this type of feeling. He's depressed. You know the thing I love about the Bible? I love how the Bible gives us the raw, uncut story of life. Because a lot of times, like when people approach the scripture, you know, we just kind of look at it as like this nice, polished thing. It is far from nice and polished. It is perfect, but it's far from nice and polished. I love how God shows us the depths of life. So that way, when we go through the depths of life, we see his faithfulness in it. We see that though I'm in pain, there still is some light on the other side of that tunnel. Though I'm going through a valley, I don't have to fear because God is for me. I love how the Bible exposes the hearts of people who just go through hard times. That's why I love the Bible, man. That's why I can relate to every Bible character in the scripture. Because I see myself there. I know what it's like to feel pain. I know what it's like to feel depressed. I know what it's like to feel let down. Some of you guys are like, man, but you're a pastor, man, and you preach the gospel. That doesn't exclude me from anything. Matter of fact, I would probably argue I may feel it more than you. Not because it's just physical things, but there's such a spiritual weight with what I'm doing. And actually, any person who's doing what God has called them to do, you feel the weight of eternity on the things that God has called you to do. Man, you feel the pain, you feel the agony, you feel the suffering. You gotta be honest about your suffering. Somebody say honest. Somebody say honest, man. The thing that the enemy has convinced us of is that Don't tell people about the pain that you're going through, because by you telling them the pain that you're going through and being open and honest about the suffering that you're going through, you will be looked at as less than in their eyes. That's the number one thing that I think the enemy's kind of convinced us of. As a matter of fact, I think that kind of started back in Genesis. That when Adam and Eve sinned against God, what was the first thing that they did when they sinned against God and realized that they sinned against God and that they were naked? They covered themselves up. The natural thing that all of us want to do when we're going through pain and suffering is not to be open, but it's to conceal. It's to close ourselves up. And here's what I want you to understand. If you close your heart when you should actually be opening it and exposing it to God and to the people that he's placed in your life, yes, you may be withholding on the surface the pain, quote unquote, but by you closing up, you're also blocking the healing that God wants to bring in your life through the pain. We're masters at concealing our pain, but we're amateurs when it comes to being open and honest about it. And God wants us to get to a place where we can be open and honest about our pain. Here's what Psalm 55 says in verse 17. Evening and morning and noon, that's three times a day, I cry out in distress, and he, who's he? God hears my voice. God wants you and I to be open and honest about our pain and distress. Like, stop covering it up. Stop covering it. You know, a lot of times when Sundays come like this, where like, you know, attendance is up and attendance is down, and then I see like those who are here, I'm like, okay, God, there's something specific that you may have for these people in particular. So I wonder if collectively many of us in here are dealing with pain right now and haven't gotten to this point where we can be open and honest and brutally honest about our suffering. Maybe God is doing something on the inside of us right now. And the people who weren't here, they'll listen to it on Sunday, you know, during the week when the message goes up. But I wonder if God is speaking directly to some of our hearts right now. Because I wonder if there's some things right now in your life that are hurting you and that you've been in pain with and to, not just like recently, but for years. Some of us are carrying around pain and suffering for something that happened to us years ago in our childhood. Maybe it was because somebody left you. Maybe it was because you didn't have both parents at home. Maybe it was because somebody wasn't faithful to you. Maybe it was because of some type of event, that catastrophic event that happened to you that should not have happened to you. Maybe you're still being held hostage to that pain. But let me say this, if you're struggling with dealing with being open and honest about your pain, until you are honest about your pain, you will always be a hostage to your pain. Until you're honest about it, it will continue to hold you hostage. It will continue to hold you hostage. And I believe that God today is saying, I want you to experience freedom. And as you experience freedom, I want you to be able to worship through the pain. But the only way you will be able to see how good I am in your pain is you got to be open and honest about how bad your situation is. You got to call it what it is. You can't just gloss over it and act like it didn't bother you. No, it bothers you. You think about it every day. You can't just act like it didn't jerk any tears out of your face. No, it did, and it still is now. You just do a great job of covering it up. When will we start to take off the mask and say, man, I'm hurting. Man, I'm broken. Man, I need some healing. Man, I need some encouragement. Man, I need some deliverance. And one of the reasons why we have small groups in our church is for that very reason. And they're getting ready to start up in a few weeks, and I hope that every person here in our church is a part of them. So that way you can get around people where you can just be open and honest about your pain and just take off the mask and say, man, I've been holding this pain for decades. I've been holding this pain for months, and I'm ready to experience healing. I want to be able to worship God in the midst of my pain. You need to be honest about your pain. You need to be brutally honest about your pain. It is okay for you to be honest about your pain. Let me free some of us in here today, because many of us have believed that it's not okay for you to be honest about your suffering. No, it's cool. Be open about it. I would love for our church to always be a place where people can be open and honest about their struggles. One of the things that blessed me a few weeks ago, I was talking to one of our newest members who's a part of our church and who recently joined our church, and she came to our small groups during our summer semester. And one of the things that she said when I was teaching Growth Track was this. She said, the thing I love about our small groups is that I can just be open and honest about my struggles and about my pain and not have to worry about anybody throwing any shade my way. That's code word for like talking about me and looking down on me in case some of us didn't know. Like, I don't have to worry about that. Because that's what the church is supposed to be. The church is not heaven on earth yet. It's a picture of what things are supposed to be like in the future. A perfect heaven coming, a perfect earth coming. But in the meantime, it's a place and it's a community where people come and say, I need the grace of God. I'm hurting. I'm broken. My family's jacked. I need help in my marriage. Help me raise these kids. I need help. I'm struggling. I'm dealing with painful moments. You got to be open and honest about your suffering. And the minute you can begin to be open and honest about your suffering is the minute you will begin to be able to worship God. But as you're being open and honest about your suffering, here's the other thing I want to tell you about that. Yes, be open and honest about it, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. Don't stay in the place of pain and suffering. Don't continue to put yourself in this holding pattern where you revisit it. No. Be open and honest about it. Present it to God. Present it to people who are around you that are trustworthy. But move from a place of being honest about your suffering to now a place of hope, which is my second point. How do I worship God in the midst of my pain? It starts by being honest about my suffering, but lastly, it also is about me being hopeful in my Savior. Notice what he says in verse 5, the B portion of that verse. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my God and my Savior. Notice what he's saying. Yes, my pain has not gone anywhere yet, but in the midst of my pain, I will still praise him. Because my hope is not even in my situation getting better. My hope is in the one who has control over my situation. My hope is in the one who can bring deliverance from my pain. My hope is in the one who can help me during my pain. In spite of my pain, the psalm writer is saying, I want you to praise God in the midst of your pain. You want to know how you can get through your pain? Worship God. Magnify his name. Yes, you see the suffering. Yes, you see the pain. But instead of magnifying that, magnify the Lord Jesus. Magnify what he's done for you. Notice that he worships God because of God's character, not because of the context of his situation. As long as you focus on your pain, as long as you focus on how bad things are, you will never be able to look to the heavens from which come your help. You will never be able to lift up your head. But when you can move past that place of being open and honest about your suffering and come back to the truth of Scripture, which says that, yes, I'm going through hell right now. Yes, I'm dealing with painful situations right now. I will still praise God because he is worthy from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Yes, I'm going through a valley moment right now. And yes, it does not feel good, but God is still good. And if he is still good, I know that he will work all of this out for my good in some capacity. I know he will do it. That's the hope that you have in the midst of the pain that you experience. That's the hope that you have in the midst of the things that you are dealing with. Notice what he says in verses 6 through 7. He says, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you. I love that. Because he doesn't say, because my situation is good, therefore I'll worship you. He says, no, though my soul is downcast, therefore I will praise you. What is the psalm writer helping us understand? The reason why you should praise and worship God is because you're going through. You want to know one of the biggest things that I always have had a hard time understanding? I've been in ministry for some years. I've always had a hard time understanding. I still don't get it to this day. Why, when life gets very difficult, especially believers, instead of running to God, we run away from God. I never understand it. I've done it myself, and I still can't understand it. Why do we run from the one who is the only one that can help us? The psalm writer says, let's correct that theology. When you go through, go to him. Don't go to all these other sources and all these other places. When you're going through painful moments, run to Jesus. You and I should be making a beeline to the cross. a beeline to the throne of God, a beeline to the presence of God. When you're going through the most difficult seasons of your life, that is the time not to run away from God. That is the time to press in like never before. That is the time to pour out your heart before God. That is the time to draw close to God. Notice what he says in verse 8 or verse 7. He says, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. What is he talking about? He says that life is becoming so difficult. Like, I was in this place where I'm thirsting and hungering for God, but now things have become so overwhelming, but yet I will still praise him. Notice what he says. I say to God, my rock, or better yet, verse 8, by the day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me. You got to be able to have a praise in the midst of your pain. You got to be able to make a song in the midst of your pain. The songs that we sing on Sunday, my hope and prayer is that you would not just sing them on Sunday. We intentionally put these songs here on Sunday so that way you could begin to sing them during the week. When things get painful in your life and when you're going through crazy moments, you could begin to have your own worship experience while you're going through it. You got to have a song in your own spirit, man. Because the worship team ain't going to be here when you're going through crazy stuff during the course of the week at your job. You got to be able to have a song. Notice the word that he uses here. I say to God, my rock, or better yet, verse 8, by day the Lord directs his love. That love, that word love is not with the love that we would sometimes think like, oh, emotions are romantic. In the original language, it's the Hebrew word kesed, which represents the covenantal, faithful love of God. And so when the Jews, the chosen people of God in the Old Testament would see this, it was a reminder of the faithful love of God that carried them from a place of slavery and in bondage in Egypt, that then delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh and took them to the promised land. What is the psalm writer helping us understand? That the faithful love of God will be with you during the most painful moments in your life and even during the most highest moments in your life. That God's love is faithful to you. Because God is faithful, his love will be with you in season and out of season. How can you get through the most difficult moments in your life? By relying on the faithful love of God. Some of you guys who are part of our church, you've heard this story shared by me plenty of times, but I've shared it quite a few times because I want you to understand that your pastor is not exempt, and my family, we're not exempt from the things that we've experienced in life. But I remember when we first got married in 2011, and at first part of 2012, we got pregnant and we were excited about it and we were seeking God and like, okay, like what are we supposed to do now? We've never been pregnant before. What happens now? But a month within to our pregnancy, Ariel began to have severe abdominal pains and we were having these issues, and we go in only to find out that we were experiencing a miscarriage. Painful moments. Painful moments. Because you go from this place of expectancy to now feeling like the air has been sucked out of the room. Painful moments. But do you not want to know the way in which we got through the painful moment? It wasn't with, okay, we'll just have more kids, we'll try again later. It wasn't that. And I've heard people be very insensitive to others who've experienced times like that. Oh, you had a miscarriage. It's very common. You know, just keep trying. That's one of the most insensitive and idiotic things you can say to somebody who's going through painful moments like that. The thing that got us through those moments was remembering how faithful God is and how good God is. So the cry was, God, we don't know what's going on, but we know you do. And we know that you're with us. And we know that you're for us. And from that point on, God has been faithful. We have seen his grace. We have seen his love. We have seen how he's been with us. We have seen how he never left us, how he never forsook us. And I believe many of us in here had the same exact testimony. You've gone through painful moments in your life. You've dealt with difficult experiences in life. You've gone through tragedies in life. And you've oftentimes wondered, how did I make it through those moments? And you want to know why? It wasn't because of luck. It wasn't because of some good fortune. No, no, no. It was because of God's grace. And one of the things that I wanted to do to really kind of help to illustrate this and to maybe help to cement this passage of scripture is not for you just to hear from me, because I think it's one thing to hear, you know, from your pastor. But I think when we begin to hear from others that we're connected to in our church and in our community, when we can begin to hear stories of the same thing that many of us have dealt with, I think it really kind of begins to drive home some of the things that we're experiencing and the hope that comes. And so I want to actually have the Rogers family kind of come up and share a story that that I believe that many of us will be able to connect with, man. But my hope and prayer is that in you guys hearing their testimony and in hearing their story, that will help to maybe give us some greater godly perspective for the pain that we oftentimes deal with and for the painful moments that we oftentimes experience. So, hey, can you guys put your hands together for Jackie and Curtis? You guys see strong man Curtis, man, he can carry like 5 chairs with his teeth. You guys can get that, man. You guys can have those chairs. I don't need that. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. One of the things that I believe in our church that is so important is for us to be able to draw close to God, but also for us to be able to draw close to one another. And a lot of times the way we draw close to one another is by being connected to each other, is by being able to be open and honest about the things that we deal with. And so many of you guys who are part of our church, man, you know Jackie and Curtis. They serve faithfully, man. They were a part of this church when we started it almost 3 years ago. They've been so instrumental in what God has done through this church and the many lives that have been impacted by the gospel through them in particular. But they have a unique story that I actually asked that they would just kind of be in prayer about sharing. And I was like, hey, there's no pressure from me at all. But I think that, man, you guys have an amazing testimony of this very message. Like, you guys could probably preach this message better than me of what I'm actually sharing. But last year, they had a very difficult season that they went through. And difficult seasons, when we go through them, aren't things that, you know, you kind of, you know, like, okay, the season's done, and let me just kind of move on to the next thing. No, it's really a day-by-day thing. And so I just kind of asked them I wanted them to kind of share a little bit about that. And I'm going to ask them just a few questions just to kind of get things going. You guys have an amazing testimony of something that happened last year. Very difficult time. A time that you don't even expect to come. And if you guys kind of feel comfortable, just open it up, just sharing a little bit. You don't have to go into great detail, but you guys can feel free, man, just to share a little bit.
Well, the difficult time that we experienced together, last year was at 19 weeks pregnant, I began to have some issues, and we went into the emergency room, and they did an exam, and they said, you're going to lose this baby. So they sent me to labor and delivery, and you know, the nurse was very hopeful. She was like, you know, we've seen people get their contractions to stop, and you know, anything is possible. But at 19 weeks, you know, if your baby is born, there's more than likely a chance that the baby won't make it. So we're holding on to hope all night and got our worship music going, and labored all night. And that morning, our son was born, and he stayed alive for 4 hours, and he passed away. So that's what we had to experience together. I think it was not even a year into our marriage.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. How were you guys able to deal with that?
Honestly, even now, looking back, I don't know. I did want to run away.
Yeah.
And be like, God, I sing songs to you every day. On Sunday, on the stage, encouraging other people. but then you allow something like this to happen to us.
Yeah.
And so I spent my time like just not talking to him and, you know, just feeling my feelings. But then I did have to change my perspective, and knowing that there wasn't one word that he spoke during that time, but he reminded me of his word. And so when you just spoke about, you know, morning, noon, and night, I spent that time, and even in between time, like on my face. And I've never sought him out like that before. So, yeah, I ran to him. And he was the only way I was able to make it, because I fought myself in dealing with, like, I should have known, I should have recognized signs, I should have, could have, would have, but God knew all about this, so
yeah.
I just had to rest in that.
Did you have anything?
My situation was different. I'm not going to say easier, because it's just, I mean, it's never easy, but, you know, with my wife, she was at home all day, you know, just resting in it. For me, I still went to work. So just the interaction with people, and I think this is why, you know, God, you know, wants us to be around other people, so that during these difficult times we can vent. I worked at Home Depot, and James also did too. So it's like, it just had people surrounding me just on a day-to-day basis, making things easier. I did, you know, while I was at work, I did have to go to the back, get myself together just to come back out. You know, the most difficult time was coming home, really, and just, I've never seen my wife in a state like that. So it was just like, man, God really just spoke to me and just like, just say support, you know, support. So it was being there for my wife really got me through it, for real. It really got me through it. I did have to seek God. I did have to pray. I had to do all that, because it's just like, during that time, our relationship became a lot closer. But seeking God is definitely the first place you should go in a time like this, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, wow. One of the things that amazed me about Curtis and Jackie when they were going through this, Ariel and I, we were with them when everything happened. And I mean, we all were broke down. I mean, but the thing that Ariel and I just talked about constantly was just to see their resolve. And it was just so encouraging, because it's like, man, they have gone through the most difficult thing that you can go through as a parent, which is to lose your child, to lose your job. And yet, in the midst of the pain and the suffering, and just being open and just being honest and opening up their hearts, like, not for one moment did I ever see them, even though they may have felt like in that moment, like, I don't want to have anything to do with the Lord, and I just want to run away from him. Not for one moment did they ever withdraw. Not for one moment. And I was like, man, that is an inspiration for me. Like, when I'm going through difficult seasons, to know that God is strengthened, and that he will strengthen us during our most painful moments. And they hurt, man. I mean, like, you guys have been through painful moments, and many of us have different stories. Your story may not be the same as theirs, but it evoked the same emotion. And you felt the same amount of pain that they felt. But the thing that is so amazing in it is to see the faithfulness of God on your life. A year later, for them to even be able to talk about this is a testament of God's faithfulness in their life. Like, for them to even be able to be open and honest about this. And I asked them, I was like, hey guys, y'all don't have to do this at all. Like, for real. Like, I just thought, like, maybe God would work through this and minister to our church through your testimony. I believe that the Bible says that we overcome by the word of our testimony and that it helps people. But if you guys don't feel comfortable doing that at all, it's cool. And the mere fact that they were just willing just to open up, man, like it blessed my heart and it blessed my soul. And so I want to say to you guys, man, like as a church, we're better as a church because of your testimony. Like God has blessed you guys through your pain, but he's also blessed the lives of other people that you're connected to through your pain, through your perseverance, through your faithfulness, like holding on, not even to your love for God, holding on to his love for you. That has been just a model and an inspiration and a source of encouragement, I think, for our entire church. And I know I can say on behalf of all of us, man, we thank you guys for being an example and for just trusting God, for embodying what we see here in Psalm 42. Like those words on that paper, on those pages, have come to life through you guys and is visible in you guys' lives. And so I just want to say thank you guys so much for your willingness to be open, to share about it, and to see what God is doing in your life now, to see how God has blessed you guys now, to see how God has given peace that surpasses all understanding now. Like the question I ask you guys is like you're able to talk about this a year later and still able to press on. Like I've seen experiences like this crush people and they can't move from it. But to see you guys able to say like, we don't know why it happened and we cried out to God and we had those real and honest moments like, God, we're seeking you and we're believing for healing and we're believing it's gonna come through, but it doesn't and it didn't come through. But God, we know you have a plan. So thank you guys, man, so much for being open and honest and sharing. Yeah, let's put our hands together, man. Yeah.
And just having a moment of transparency. We was talking last night about this and during the time right before, you know, all this happened in our marriage, it was kind of just, we were just going. Mm-hmm. We were sleepwalking through our marriage. I would go to work, come home, and we would watch TV shows or whatever, and that's it. Like, we wasn't really praying. We wasn't really studying our word. It wasn't really nothing going on. It wasn't becoming closer. But we did argue. We did. So it's just being transparent. And I'm not saying that, you know, we lost our child to bring us closer, but as a result, we did become closer.
Wow.
And at the same time, just being honest, we wouldn't have Wesley if CJ, we named him Curtis Jr., but if CJ didn't pass, we wouldn't have Wesley, because we lost Wesley in February. Sorry, Lord. We lost CJ in February, and we was pregnant with Wesley in May. So
wow.
It's like, you wouldn't have our son that we have now.
Wow.
If, you know, so our marriage became a lot closer. We realized that we can't just walk through this. We have to be intentional about our time. We have to be intentional about growing with each other. And now we have a little man over there. So, you know.
It's awesome. Amen.
He's
Amen.
Good.
Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together one more time, man. Come on, we can do better than that. Amen. Thank you guys so much. And I want to close with this thought right here. The psalm writer in Psalm 42, at the end, he says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise you, my God and my Savior. For I will yet praise you, my God and my Savior. 2,000 years later, we're able to say this from the lens and perspective that we can be assured that God is faithful to us and we can put our hope in him, because God brought to fruition the very thing that he said he would do, which was to bring us into an everlasting loving relationship through the giving of his son, Jesus. And so Paul would say this in 1 Timothy 1, as he's opening up this letter to his pupil, Timothy. In verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of our God and Savior, and of Christ Jesus, look at the words, our hope. Our hope. The reason why we can hope in the midst of our pain, it's because when Jesus experienced the most excruciating pain on the cross and gave up his dying breath on the cross for our sins, the pain ceased and he was resurrected on the third day as a picture to show us that in the midst of your most excruciating pain, God is faithful. And that for every pain, there is an empty tomb. That for every painful moment you experience, there is hope. There is hope that drives you to still be able to worship God in spirit and in truth in your pain. And so this is why, as a church, we say, God, I will worship you. No matter what's happening around me, no matter what's happening to me, no matter what's happening in me. And I hope that through this, you see that worship is much bigger than a song, y'all. It's a way of life. It's a lifestyle submitted to the Lord Jesus that says, God, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to believe you. And I'm still going to be devoted to you. Not because I'm good. Like, please don't get it twisted. It has nothing to do with us being good. It's because God is good. That's what it's all about. It's because God being faithful. It's because God being good. And that's what we hold on to. That's where our hope is. That's what it's about. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's the thing that I want us to understand. That worshiping God in your pain, it doesn't eliminate it. It helps you endure it. It helps you endure it. You heard Jackie and Curtis's testimony. What got them through was not more money. It wasn't a better job. It wasn't a new car. It wasn't a new house. What got them through was worship of God. Not just singing songs, but a life submitted to God in the midst of the most excruciating pain that they've ever experienced. And the reason why they did that, and the reason why they could do that, is because Jesus had already done that for them, which is the same thing that he's done for us today. And so if you're here this morning and you're saying, man, Pastor, I've gone through so much pain in my life and I'm dealing with pain even now, in the name of Jesus, my hope and prayer is that you would experience the love and kindness and grace and mercy of God today in his son Christ Jesus, that today you would know him greater, that today in the midst of your pain, you would be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, I don't know Jesus yet, I have yet to submit my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I've yet to worship him with my heart, soul, mind, and body, but today I want to give him all of me because he gave his all for me on the cross. In him, I want to put my hope because he is my Savior and he is my Lord. If that's you this morning, I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you experienced the most excruciating pain ever so that through your pain and through your resurrection, that when I'm going through my pain, I can call on your name. So today I give you my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name. And while every head is still bowed, every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning and you're saying, this is me, Pastor, I'm going through pain right now, and I just need you to pray for me. If you could, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you could just lift up your hand, just be honest right now. Just be honest if that's you. Be honest about that pain. Be honest about that suffering. If you're saying, man, I'm going through some painful moments right now, and I just need the Lord, man. I need more of him. Just lift up your hand really quick. Awesome. Thank you so much for being transparent. Awesome. Father, I thank you for every hand that's lifted. Even every hand that wasn't lifted that's going through pain right now. I pray, God, that you would comfort us. God, you said in your word in 2 Corinthians 1 that you are the God of all comfort and that you will comfort us in the midst of all that we go through. So I pray that today, God, that in the middle of our pain, we would have a praise. That in the middle of our pain, we would still lift up your name. That in the middle of your pain, we will still say that you are good. We will still say that you are awesome. So today, God, we long for more of you in the midst of our pain. As the deer pants for streams of water, so our soul longs for more of you. Satisfy us like none other. We thank you, God, for being faithful in our pain. We thank you, God, for being good to us even in the midst of our pain. And we will yet trust you, and we will yet praise you in Jesus' name. And every person who knows that God is faithful in the midst of your pain said amen. Let's put our hands together this morning for who God is. Amen. 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 So here's what I want us to do as we get ready to go and kind of disperse, there's a few things that I want us to do. Number one is I want us to take out that connection card that you got when you walked in. Maybe you're a regular here at our church, or maybe you're not. Maybe you made a decision to give Christ your life. Here's what I want you to do. There's a box up there that says, I'm committing my life to Christ. I want you to check that box and drop that in the bucket as you leave out, so that way we can reach out to you this week and tell you thank you for being our guest. But more importantly, we want to share with you some next steps about the greatest decision that you've ever made, which is to give your life to Christ. We want you to be intentional about growing, and we want to help you do that. And so drop that in the bucket as you guys leave out. Also, go ahead and get in hand whatever it is that you're ready to worship God with through your giving. Giving is an act of worship just like everything else is. So you can use that envelope that we gave you when you walked in, or you can give online via our app or through our website as well. And if you're ready to take a next step, maybe you've been coming here for a minute and you're like, man, I need to start serving. I need to start plugging in. I need to find out how God can use me. I want you guys to stick around. Come to step 3 of the growth track, which is happening right after service, right in the room that says growth track. We'll have snacks and refreshments for you guys just to serve.